This is the United States Treasury Department. The Treasury Star Parade presents Big Jim, starring Eddie Rochester Anderson and Michael O'Shea. The third war loan drive is on, and your personal quota is at least one extra $100 bond this month. For you and your children are safe here at home, and many of you are getting your bigger paychecks because of the war and war industries. Remember, our fighting men can't preserve the world we like to live in with their bare hands. They need more guns and planes and tanks and ships. To provide them is your responsibility and your privilege. Lend every dollar you can spare. Then pay your conscience a bonus. Buy at least one extra $100 bond this month. Now.
Singing was Big Jim's solution to every problem, and the sound of his gravel-throated voice gave a lift to everyone within hearing. But it wasn't Big Jim singing that interested me most. It kind of bothered me, the fact I couldn't place the big guy. The day I signed on the Liberty ship, Jim was working on the foredeck, lashing down cargo, and there was something familiar about the set of his powerful black shoulders and the swing of his arms that made me certain I'd known him, or at least seen him somewhere connected with something big. I'm quite a sports fan, and I had a hunch that Big Jim was a champ in some sport. But when I questioned him about it, he just laughed and changed the subject, and except for telling me his name, Big Jim refused to identify himself. I learned his reason later, but that was after our ship's engines had broken down and the convoy had sailed on, leaving our ship alone in mid-Atlantic.
Boy, this is a lonesome ocean, ain't it, Marge?
It sure is. You suppose they'll send a destroyer back to look out for us until we get our engines fixed, Jim?
I don't hardly think so, Marge, but we can ask the mate. Mr. Stevens?
What is it, Jim?
Marge and I were wondering if there'd be a destroyer covering us while we made repairs.
No. The convoy doesn't have any destroyers to spare on a lame duck. We're strictly on our own.
Uh-oh. All by ourselves, huh? With crippled engines. We won't have a prayer if a sub spots us.
Well, that's how it is, men. This is war and the convoy's got to get through.
Yes, sir. You're right about that, sir.
I'm glad you understand that. The captain's worried about how the rest of the crew are going to take it when they find out the spot we're in.
They'll take it all right, sir. You can bet on that.
I hope so, Jim. But most of them are young. Some of them just out of high school. They make it panicky. I hope you two will do what you can to calm them down.
We'll do what we can, sir.
Good. I was sure I could depend on you two. I'd better get along and tell the rest of them.
Well, how do you like that for a lousy break? Why does this have to happen to us? Of all the ships in the convoy, we have to be picked on for a cripple. Hey, Jim, you're not doing much talking.
I was thinking.
What about?
About what the mate said, counting on us to keep the kids from getting in a panic.
Well, we got some hope. Hey, look at them running up the deck jabbering. Some of them even got their duffel bags.
We gotta do something, Marks.
Yeah, but what?
There's only one thing I know that can take a guy's mind off himself when he's real worried.
Yeah? What's that?
Singing.
Singing?
Yeah, a lot of guys singing together can get up courage they didn't think they had in them.
Well, maybe you're right, Jim, if you can ever get that mob started.
I'm gonna try anyhow. Right now. Dine up. If there anyone, find them. Hey, how about give me some help? Come on, fellas. Everybody sing. Dinah, is there anyone finer? Come on, boys, let's go. Let me have it. Come on, sing.
Dinah, is there anyone finer?
That's
in
it.
State Carolina. If there isn't, you know her. Show her to me.
Come on,
Dinah. Yes, sir. Big Jim's community singing idea worked fine for that afternoon, but by evening, faces were a yard long again. And by morning, on a sea that was a submarine skipper's delight, well, it was too far gone for singing by that time. Now, I admit I was feeling the tension myself as I sat down beside Big Jim at noon mess. Then suddenly, the torpedo we'd been expecting struck.
Lots of time. Lots of time. Take it
all stations. All stations. Take all boat stations and await orders to abandon ship.
Hold on, Mark.
All stations.
The ship's sailing over on the side of the torpedo head.
Yeah, she's settling fast, too. Let's get to our boat stations, huh?
Okay, but take it easy.
Big Jim. Mark.
Look, Jim, the mate up on the bridge is calling us. Yes, sir.
Come up to the bridge, both of you.
Yes, sir. What's happened, Mr. Stevens?
The captain's been hurt.
The captain?
Yes. The jolt with a torpedo hit knocked him unconscious. Give a hand here. We'll carry him to the lifeboat.
I'll take his shoulders, Mark. You grab hold of his feet.
Got him. All right, let's go.
Easy down those stairs with him.
Yes, sir. We got him. Which boat, Mr. Stevens?
Number 2, right here. Get him in. I'll be with you when I've given orders to abandon ship.
Right, sir.
All right, men. Lower your boat. Abandon ship. Abandon ship.
Come on, Mr. Stevens. Come on, Mr. Stevens. We got the captain in the boat. Here. I'll give you a hand in, sir.
Thanks, Big Jim. Okay, I'm all set.
Lower away.
Right, sir.
We're in the water, sir. Davit ropes free of boat.
Then ready with your oars. Row!
How's the captain doing, Mr. Stevens?
Beginning to come around, I think, Jim. I've been holding a wet handkerchief to his head.
Mr. Stevens, look behind you.
What's wrong, Mark?
The ship, it's still afloat.
What?
It hasn't gone down a foot in all the time we've been pulling away from it.
By George, you're right. The torpedo must have smashed only a couple of compartments, and the watertight bulkheads have kept her afloat.
But what did you say?
Captain, how are you feeling, sir?
Never mind about me. What did you say about the ship, Mr. Stevens?
It's still afloat, sir.
Still afloat? Can't be.
It is, sir. Look.
Good heavens, yes. Stevens, before I was hit, knocked out, did I have time to get the ship's papers?
We didn't find them with you, sir.
You mean they're still aboard?
I suppose they must be.
Then we must go back after them at once.
Go back for the papers, sir?
Yes. When the submarine surfaces and finds the ship still afloat, men will immediately be sent on board to search for my papers.
And if they find them?
The fate of the convoy will be sealed. The next rendezvous position, enemy planes and a pack of submarines will be waiting. We must go back for those papers now while we still have time.
The sub is breaking water now. We'll never get this boat back to the ship, that's sure. But maybe one man could slip aboard without them seeing him.
What do you mean, Jim?
I'd like to try, Captain. I'd like to try swimming back to the ship.
Swimming? But you'd never make it. Why, it's half a mile.
Ah, the distance won't bother me, Captain. I can make it easy. Ask Mark.
Huh?
He's a sports fan. He's seen me swim. Remember now, Mark?
Hey, wait a minute. That's right. Sure. I remember now, Jim. The Westbrook Channel swim, wasn't it? 10 miles across rough water, and you won it in the fastest time on record.
That's it, Mark.
Why didn't you tell us before? Why did you make such a mystery out of it?
Because one other time a guy found out I was swimming champ, and they tried to make a swimming instructor out of me back at training camp. I didn't want that. I wanted to sail like I'd always done. So that's why I never told you, in case you'd pass the word around like the other guy did.
I see.
Captain, the submarine has started towards the ship.
Okay, I'm going overboard. Get my shoes off.
But, Jim, you'll never find the papers. They're locked in my cabin.
I thought of that, sir. I was thinking it might be quicker to climb aboard, open the sea cocks, and let the ship go down. The papers will go down with it. There'll be no mistakes.
But how will you get off?
I'll have time. I'll get back on deck and overboard before the ship goes down. Don't worry about me. Well, here I go.
Good luck, champ.
Thanks, Mark. I'm going to need all you can give me before I get back.
Well, sir, we sat and watched Big Jim swimming back towards the ship. His black arms gleaming as they cut through the Atlantic waves. Now, pretty soon, his head was just a speck, bobbing up in front of the white foam, his heels kicked up. Well, about halfway back to the ship, Big Jim cut over to the east, getting the vessel in between him and the submarine, you see? For he was strictly in a race now. I guess he knew it, too. The sub was also closing up on the ship. Now, if it got there first, if the Nazis got aboard before Big Jim, it would be all up with them. And all up with the convoy he was trying to save. But Big Jim beat them to it with something to spare. All at once, the ship began sinking. And sinking fast. There could be no doubt about it this time. She was going down. The water crept up to the row of portholes and then higher. Pretty soon, the ship began rolling slowly forward, getting ready for its last plunge. And still there was no Jim. Well, we began to think he'd been trapped below when all of a sudden Up he came to the deck, slipping and sliding on the wet deck as he made for the rail. Well, we were so busy watching him that we'd forgotten all about the submarine, but, well, it was watching him, too. And when the men aboard it realized what Big Jim had done, sunk the ship before they could get at the captain's papers, they acted like, well, they acted just the way you'd expect Nazis to act. They opened up on him with a machine gun. And they got him, too. They got him at the very first burst. Big Jim went down. We could tell from the way his hands clawed that he'd been hit somewheres in the middle. No more swimming for Big Jim now. He was done for, lying there on the sloping deck beneath the mast. Done for by a bunch of dirty Nazis. And the waves closing in on him. But then something happened that none of us that saw it will ever be able to forget it. Big Jim began to climb. That's right, you heard me. He began to climb with those giant arms. He began pulling himself up the ladder hitched to the mast. And as he climbed, he began to sing. The wind was blowing towards us from the ship, and we could hear Big Jim singing as plain as if he was in the next backyard. And below him, the ship had disappeared from sight beneath the water. And now there was only a mast sticking out where Jim was before. A mast with Old Glory flying from the top. And Big Jim creeping up rung by rung of the ladder, nearer to the flag of his country. It seemed that long after the waves had closed over them both, and for the 10 days we drifted in that lifeboat till we were picked up. You know something? We could still hear Big Jim singing and singing.
Today, your newspaper carries stories about America's big Jims, fearless men of every race, creed, and color, dying somewhere in this war-ripped world to push the death and destruction of the war farther away from your front door. For the invasion is on. We're going places. But the cost of that kind of travel comes high in men, machines, and money. That's why the third war loan drive is on now. Our invading forces and your country expect you to help pay for invasion by buying at least one extra $100 bond during the month of September. Buy it to celebrate our success in Africa and Sicily. Buy it in memory of the boys who died there. Buy it because it's the safest investment in the world today. But buy that extra $100 bond this month. It's your personal quota in the third war loan drive.
The Treasury Department wishes to thank Eddie Rochester Anderson, Michael O'Shea, and this station for the use of its facilities. Big Jim was written by William Morwood and Bill Hampton. Other material by Thelma Ritter and Joseph Moran. The special musical score was composed and conducted by William Arts. This program from Hollywood was under the personal direction of Don Bernard. This is Carlton Cadell suggesting that you check the radio column of your local newspaper and tune in the Treasury Star Parade. Oh, 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 oh